for America.
Can you please open your textbooks to chapter 8 and we'll get started?
We are promoting our schools, securing our future.
Totes and goats.
Totes and goats.
We're trying to teach you to think.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's kind of hard to, like, keep up with everything, like school and cheer.
Anyone?
Right here in high school, I know that I'm gaining experience that's going to help me no matter what I want to do.
Fighting for you.
We are very appreciative of KIDO Radio coming to our schools and giving us a chance to promote the good things that we do at this.
Thanks for previewing our school. We're proud of it.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Voices Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning.
Pay attention, Dustin.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Living the dream with you at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Kevin Miller with Mike Tracy here, taking a look at the big elections last night. We'll take your phone calls. Mike, what was the biggest takeaway that you saw from last night's election?
Well, what I saw was kind of, I think, a real insurgency or a real energized Tea Party base. They turned out, the majority of the incumbents won. But a lot of those races were, I think, tighter than people would have expected. One of those races that was pretty tight was the governor's race. I mean, it was a lot closer than I think folks expected. Also, the state controller's race was pretty close between Brandon Wolf and Todd Hatfield. I think that they were separated by 3,000 votes. That's less than about a couple, maybe 2 percentage points. So that was very close. And in the 2010 election, Todd Hatfield lost to Donna Jones in the primary 56-44%. So that gap is closed quite a bit by about 10 points from that previous election cycle and the last constitutional officer election cycle. We're going to see, you know, if the Republicans win in the November general election, which is highly likely, we're going to see a change in the land board. Lawrence Denny, being the new Secretary of State, is going to change that office dramatically, and it's going to change the makeup of the land board, and I think that's going to be of real interest. The other thing is that another takeaway I had was how very close the superintendent of public instruction race was. I mean, it was almost 25, 25, 25, 25 between the four candidates. I mean, there was only a couple of points separating the candidates, and it looked like people just went in and rolled the dice. I don't think there was a lot of name ID and certainly not a lot of name recognition. I know that when I first heard the names several months ago, I had never heard of any of the candidates.
They didn't really jump out at me during their debates or anything.
There were, I thought Andy Grover did a good job on some things. Personally thought he was had a really good chance of winning. Sherry, I think Ibarra is how you pronounce her name.
Ibarra. Yeah. Look, I'm not one to do name pronunciations, I'll tell you that.
She came out of nowhere. I mean, I was shocked when I saw that number.
Well, she's an administrator, she'll tell you.
Yeah, and she was not the Tea Party candidate.
Right.
So I think that was a surprise to a lot of people. The Tea Party movement had some impacts out there. They just weren't as big as a lot of people thought they'd be. They did tighten some of the races up, though.
Mike Tracy with us as we continue on. Let's go to the phones. We go to Tea Party Bob, whose suspension has been lifted now at 580 KIDO with Mike Tracy.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
How are you, Tea Party Bob?
Well, I don't know. Phil Hardy sent me an email congratulating me. I guess I won my race, but that's not a lot of solace to me since we lost the election. But I want to thank all of the candidates that ran, Fulcher, Chamlick, Drupas, Hatfield, and Einan. They put their lives on hold to show up and do a job, and I think that's...
And you did. You put your career with us on hold.
Well, yes, indeed. And that's very important to me, as you know. I'm just kind of disappointed. The fact that the race was so close on the governor's side, I think shows us that with four of the largest Idaho counties coming out and saying, hey, we think there's something wrong here, the governor should take note that evidently he hasn't been doing the job everybody's been expecting him to do, and there's a lot of discontent. And I think the Tea Party did have a lot to say in this election. I think they'll have a lot more to say, because if they don't show up to vote for him in the next election, he's going to have a real problem.
Well, let's bring Mike Tracy into the conversation on Tea Party Bob's points. Four of the largest counties did not go for the governor. Once again, resilient. The governor comes back. You think that the Tea Party, you said that the Tea Party was strong, but not strong enough to derail the governor.
Yeah, and I think Bob makes a good point that those four big counties went for Russ Fulcher, and there's clearly some discontent out there. The incumbency, the anti-incumbency attitude has been very strong the last couple of cycles. And I think we saw a lot of that in this particular case. There's no doubt. Well, and the other thing you have to look at is, you know, we went through a really bad economy during this tenure. I mean, there's been a lot of plus, you know, minuses, a lot of pluses in the economy in the last 4 or 5 years. And you know, when you're the governor, you take the heat for it. The buck stops with you, and so when there's someone or some to blame about something, the governor takes the heat on those things. And there's been some real challenges, and when budgets were cut and spending was cut, and we had to hold the line on things, a lot of people, you know, were frustrated with some of those decisions. And I think, and there was also, you know, those underwriting things with Common Core and Obamacare, the Idaho Healthcare Exchange. There's some real serious concerns there where people are very frustrated with that, and they don't like, people in Idaho do not like the federal government telling them what to do. This is a 10th Amendment state, and people take it very seriously.
Tea Party Bob?
Well, I tend to agree with them, and I do think that the governor has to take the hit for a lot of the things that have happened and the tenor of the people. I also think that you'll notice that Lawrence Denny did win his race because he had a lot of name recognition. Most of the other people that were running did not have the same recognition. And when you go out into a race and you've got twice as much money as your opponent or three times as much money as your opponent, then there's a good chance you're going to be able to buy that race one way or another.
Now, wait a minute. You and I talked the whole time before your suspension, and you said, money doesn't matter, Kevin Miller. Money doesn't matter, Kevin Miller. Are you flip-flopping?
Don't you go putting me down, my friend, because we did get the vote out.
You did?
We did get the vote out, and you saw that by the numbers. And I think that everybody who is back in that administration should thank God, because had we had another month or so and more money, this would have been a much different race.
Well, let me bring that up to Mike Tracy. Tea Party Bob, thank you. We'll see you Saturday.
Thank you. Take care.
How big was money in this?
Well, I think it played a role to a degree. But look at the Brian Smith Mike Simpson race. There's a good example.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute.
But money, a lot of money was spent there, and Mike Simpson still won very handily.
Was he 5-1 though over Brian Smith?
In terms of spending, I don't know what the final numbers were and what the independent expenditures on each behalf was. But
I have to ask you, Mike Tracy, and pardon the interruption here at 580KIDO, is that the type of campaign, let's just be abstract and philosophical and unicorns and rainbows, is that really a type of campaign with respect to the congressman that he should be proud of? It wasn't, I'm Mike Simpson, it was, Brian Smith's a bad guy. I mean, we got envelopes with money.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody likes those negative campaigns. The very first big campaign I worked on in 1996 with Larry Craig and Walt Minnick was very negative.
Right.
I mean, it was every single day for 6 months. I was looking for another spear in my back. I literally didn't know where the arrows were going to come from that day. And it was negative, and maybe $5.5 million was spent between the two camps, and it was really, really negative. And I don't think anybody likes it. But negative campaigning is a part of of politics, and especially if somebody has negatives. I mean, you know, you could say who started throwing the negative first, you know, but there was a lot of negative on both sides, and once the negative war starts, both candidates, if they've got the money, they're going to push the negatives on the other person, and you saw plenty of that in that particular election.
Well, you've got me here. I'm looking at the blinky things here at 580KIDO. By the way, 580-5436, going over yesterday's primary results with political analyst Mike Tracy. How healthy is a candidate is Mike Simpson? He's got a lot of friends with a lot of money. One could argue, though, that if the odds were even, Brian Smith, as flawed as he was as a candidate, might be the next congressman.
Well, I think you have to...
You like the hypotheticals, I think?
Yeah, I mean, you have to... Even if the money was even, I think Mike would have still won that race, because
okay.
I think Mike is very popular. He's done a good job. Are there things that people would didn't like or have not liked over the period of his term? I would say yes. But what you have to look at is the full body of work. You can't just look at one vote. And that's part of what they try to point out in the campaign ads. You know, this vote or that vote. There's thousands of votes taken over a 16-year period. And I guarantee you the overwhelming majority of Mike's votes have been in line with the rest of the delegation. And we have one of the most conservative congressional delegations, and we always have in the last 20 years, one of the most conservative congressional delegations in the country.
You know, it's fascinating, though. You look at Mike Simpson, and you'll never outwork him.
No, Mike's a very hard worker, as evidenced by the fact that he is chairman of one of the appropriations subcommittees. He is in the top leadership. You don't get those positions by accident. You work really hard, and you develop relationships, and you build on those relationships, and it puts you in a position where you can get things done and you can accomplish things. And for Mike, you know, one of his signature accomplishments, and the, one of the things he works on all the time is his support of INL, the nuclear site, very important to Idaho. My old boss used to really work hard to support the nuclear site because nuclear energy is still a very viable source of energy. And you know, we're going to continue to have that research out there. And he's been very instrumental in keeping that not only operational, but one of the most important labs in the country.
Sure. 580KIDO. Mike Tracy, our guest, as we continue on. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Could Brian Smith have done anything?
I don't know. I looked at what he did, and he tried to drive Mike's negatives immediately, and it didn't work. And that's if you go into a race, the first thing you want to do is you do some polling, and you look at what a person's negatives are, what people like and don't like. You look and see what the disparity in numbers are, what people's name ID is, how many people know who you are. That's a big part of it. And I think the Brian Smith camp, the only thing they saw that they could do is go negative on Mike and try to drive his negatives, and it just didn't work. And part of that is some of it didn't ring true to a lot of people, that, you know, the liberal label didn't ring true and trying to hang that around Mike. It's just not the case. Is Mike the most conservative House member out of the U.S. Congress? No, but he's pretty conservative. And when you're from Idaho, if you're not conservative, you will get voted out. I mean, the conservatives had a good, fair shot one-on-one. It was not three or four candidates, one-to-one, and Mike still won handily.
Coming up more with Mike Tracy here at 580KIDO, we'll go back to the governor's race and go over some of the other races of note and what it means for the general election. Never too soon to be worried about politics.
In your trust every morning, Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Kevin Miller with Mike Tracy here.
I remember when Raul was running for the House of Representatives the first time, and he came to me and asked me to endorse him, and I jumped on board, and I helped out. But if he would have just called and said, hey, Butch, you need to know that I'm going to endorse Russ, but there was no phone call.
A moment of realness there from Governor Otter talking about his disappointment with the congressman.
Yeah, it really is a courtesy thing, Kevin. I was with a candidate who received a call from another candidate who won his election to let him know that he was going to endorse his opponent. And, you know, that's the correct thing to do. And I think that the congressman should have made that phone call. I would have done that just as a matter of courtesy. Especially since, Butch has stepped up and endorsed him as well. I think you got to make those kinds of phone calls. They're difficult phone calls to make. But I think a courtesy call like that's important.
Do you think this adds to the feud between the two that we thought that had kind of simmered off?
I don't know that the feud you
can
call.
So you're so shrewd. You don't even let you know. You've already dismissed my word. That's good though.
No, you can call it a feud if you want to, but
He won't be invited over to Star for the horse thing.
You're probably not going to see him at Butch events necessarily. But
right.
What you have here is you really have a split between Congress and state government.
Right.
And they really. They don't work together near as much as people think, just because they're both elected officials, they're at a very high level in the state. But my work, both with the governor and working on the congressional side, there's not as much overlap as you would think. Our four members are back in D.C. most of the time. And yes, the governor can call on the delegation, and if something's in the best interest of Idaho, you're going to see Raul and Butch work together. That's just going to happen. There will be times that they disagree. You can call it a feud if you want to. There's in politics, someone told me a long time ago, the longer you're in, the more enemies you gather. I don't know if that's so true, but Butch has been in office for a long time, and he still managed to have a lot of popularity. And Raul has gained a lot of popularity very quickly with the Tea Party group, the more conservative part of the first congressional district. The numbers, against his opponents, he won handily. I mean, I think he had almost 80% of the vote. He had three or four unknown opponents.
Yeah, he had no serious opposition.
Right.
At 580KIDO, let's move on a little. Do you think that the results would have been different in the highly competitive Secretary of State's race if there had been three or two candidates as opposed to four?
In the Secretary of State's race, absolutely. If there had been just two candidates, I think that Lawrence Denny may not have won that race. I think if one of the other three, whether it had been Mitch Toriansky or Phil McGrane or Evan Frazier, there was a lot of folks in the, for lack of a better word, in the establishment group that didn't want to see Lawrence in, we're working against that. And I think if it hadn't been split four ways, I think you could have seen a very different outcome.
What's next for Mr. Belukoff? It appears that he will be the one issue candidate. He's doing a lot of social media, a lot of Democratic appearances. And claiming that, he's known in Boise as, being on the school board and such, but it looks like he's going to ride that education train.
Well, a lot of candidates have tried to ride the education train on the Democrat side unsuccessfully. There's pockets in the state of Idaho, Latah County, Blaine County, the north end of Boise. There's pockets of Democrats in the state, but the overwhelming majority of the people in Idaho want a more conservative approach on education. They want local control, and education is not the only issue that people think about. It is one of the issues that people think about. Being able to feed your family is pretty important. Taxes, pretty important. Having a job is pretty important to people. If you don't have a job, the rest of it doesn't mean a whole lot to folks. And I think being a one-issue candidate like that makes it very difficult. And, again, he has a more liberal message, and I just don't believe that plays well in Idaho. Idaho is 65 to 70% Republican. I've seen it over and over and over again. Unless there's some kind of wild swing in November, I think there's going to be a big Republican sweep, not only in Idaho, but across the country, because people right now are not very happy with the Democrat Party.
Mike Tracy, we appreciate it. I'm trying to look at anything else. Anything else that we can take away from the primary? A lot of folks said that more people should have voted, but I think the people that did, it was quality over quantity. And we had a lot of good candidates, whether you were, establishment or Tea Party or whatever. I think the process succeeded just by making some of these incumbents on the Republican side work.
Yeah, there was a lot of work that was done. I really saw people working the Lincoln days and working events for the last 4, 5, 6 months really hard. I mean, it was very intense work out there on the ground in every region of the state. And the other race that I think is going to be really interesting, where I think the Democrats think that they have a really good shot, will be the superintendent of public instruction. That particular seat is swung back and forth between Democrat and Republican, and you've got now a relative unknown Sherry Ybarra. She was an unknown coming into the primary. She's unknown going into the general, pretty much, against Jana Jones, who back in 2006 did pretty well against Tom Luna. She lost by about 1.5 percentage points in 2006. So that's going to be a really interesting race.
We've got about 20 seconds left here at 580 KIDO. Will the conservatives come back home in November?
Oh, absolutely. I think you'll have the Republican Party will unify, and they will support Republicans of all stripes, and you'll see people going up and down the ticket and pulling the or filling in for the R. I think you'll see that. We see it over and over again. Even when people are upset with each other, they still come home.
Mike Tracy, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our great friend Dave Burnett with us here at 580 KIDO from Sage International School in Boise, and Hotel Ryan with us, already liking our picture from Sage. Heck, I'll like myself on Facebook. I'm not above that. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So we take a look at the big news yesterday locally was that the Broncos Stadium is now Albertsons Stadium, a 15-year deal. $12 million. We debated that a little yesterday. What are your thoughts?
I think it's a wise move, I think, for the Boise State program. You know, they got some cash in the pocket to help make up for some of the BCS stuff going away, and cash in the pocket, always good. For Albertsons, good exposure for them. And if you look at it, all of the markets at Boise State, they play against, whether it's Fresno or wherever, there's Albertsons stores there, so... good exposure for Albertsons, and doesn't cost the taxpayers a dime, so good shape there.
Hmm. Okay.
Why? You don't like it?
I just never hear any opposing views. And, you know, I wonder, and I don't know who we could get on to talk about this. And, we're, you know, again, there's no curtain here in the Manly Man segment, but I wonder who we could get on who has a business background besides our great friend Dave Petso, who would really examine this and see if this is really, truly a good deal. I heard the president or CEO of Albertsons talking about this is our home, this is the place to stay, and I think it's a great deal for Albertsons. In fact, I would say, and this is where I think the Broncos have become a victim of their own success, that I think it's probably the best deal of any school
within the Mountain West, which is really how they're judged. But when you go to a national stage, and maybe, Dave Burnett, I'm being unfair here at 580KIDO, when you go to a national stage and you know, I don't know of any other Mountain West team that gets to go do these kickoff games like they're doing this year with Ole Miss or in the past with Virginia Tech or Georgia, it's kind of the, and I'm kind of getting kind of convoluted here, but it's that curse of the small business, you know. You only have so much money to buy so much product, but you have so many orders, you can't fill them all. And that's why I just wonder about this deal and, you know, is it really that good? Yeah, they get money. Could they have gotten more? I don't know. Is it the best deal ever in the Mountain West? I would say arguably yes. And is that the criteria which they're judged on? Yes. However, they are a special program considering they get to do things and have done things that no other program, quite frankly, in college football has. I don't know if that answer makes sense, but what say you?
Where's the downside? I mean, what are you saying that's a downside? You're looking for the downside. You're looking for the moss under the rock. What is it?
I just wonder if they could have gotten a deal where it's 12 years, $12 million, considering the value of the franchise and the fact maybe, and let's be brutally honest here at 580KIDO, there's no Coach Pete, so you have an unknown there. Could they have gotten more? Should they have gotten more? And it was interesting, I listened to the news conference, and these public-private partnerships, which you've taken me to task for many times on this program, they've been brutal for people to listen to, and I'm going to apologize in advance in case that happens again here at 580KIDO. But for the school all of a sudden to thank Learfield Communications for their work, and I'm thinking, you know, Learfield is a for-profit company. They do stuff very well. They sell sports marketing, but it still is a public university owned by the people of Idaho. And it just seemed uncomfortable for me that the athletic director was, you know, being overly complimentary of this company. And I'm going, well, I don't think Learfield's local. So, again, just trying to make sense of what happened yesterday. And you won't hear any dissent anywhere else. So we might as well do that this morning here at 5:44.
I still don't know what the dissent is. You're struggling and scratching to find something negative about it.
I'll come out with it. I think they should have gotten more money.
Why? I mean, what in your business background do you know that says they should have gotten $20 million for 15
I think they
years?
Should have gotten $1 million a year for 10 years. I mean, 15 years. A, that's a lot of years. B, you have a program that is the darling of the national media. We're not talking about Colorado State here. They're still going to Atlanta. Who else in the Mountain West is going to Atlanta?
Well, I think the history of the program has earned that.
Right. So based upon that, and I think, you know, Albertsons bought at the right time. And here you have this company, Learfield, that's supposed to do all these wonderful things, and they don't negotiate locally. Why didn't Learfield do it? Oh, well, you know, Learfield tells us what we can and can't do. No, you're a public institution. And here's the problem with the NCAA, and here's the problem with sports programs in general. As we start to see these lawsuits with the NFL, whether they're trying to be money-grubbing or not, you're going to start seeing people in college take a look at, yeah, I was signed to a 4-year deal, but it was only a 1-year deal. I got hurt, or I wasn't good enough to make the team, they didn't care about me, they cut me, and now I'm homeless. I'm going to sue the university. Because we live in a society of victims. So, back to my original point, this public private quasi-partnership that makes billions of dollars, I think as the NFL is finding out, is going to be under more and more scrutiny. So I go back to this deal, and I think they could have made more money. That's simply it. And for 15 years... that's a lot of time.
Okay, well, let me ask you, let's do some comparisons here. Rutgers, pretty well-known university. Their naming sponsorship, $6.5 million for 10 years. $6.5 million for 10 years for Rutgers Stadium. Let's see. San Diego State University, 10 years, $6.9 million for Viejas Arena. And then, mind you, that's basketball, not football. I'm rapidly trying to do a little bit of research here. Taco Bell Arena. We know where Taco Bell Arena is. 15 years, $4 million.
That's refreshing. that you're doing some research here this morning.
Yeah, somebody on the show needs to.
You are correct.
I'm just saying. Sir. So you are correct, sir. You know, so.
But I have an answer for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have an answer for you. When's the last time Rutgers was on national TV? Oh, yeah, that guy that used to coach the Tampa Bay Bandits or whatever his name is, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, when he was coaching, Greg Schiano. That was a long time ago. I mean, look.
So they got like double the deal, Rutgers. Double the deal that Rutgers has.
Still, Rutgers is irrelevant.
You are trying so hard to find something bad here, Kevin.
You know why? Because everybody else is drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm suspicious. And I hope that, and again, as you know, who's been the biggest proponent of Albertsons on this radio station?
That would probably be you.
That would be
I
Kevin
think you're
Northern.
Just afraid that maybe your olives and your, you know, your whatever's going to go up in
my
price.
My banana peppers, yes.
I think that's what it's all about.
Well, that's a good point, and now since you've given me that, I'm going to take it. I better not see a rise in the price of pickles based on – that's actually – I could work with that.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm sure you're going to say that, but the truth is, you know, for the Albertsons LLC Corporation – that this is an advertising thing. It's a tax deduction for them as a corporation.
Oh, boy. Great.
So there are tax advantages. You want to talk to somebody financial, I'm as close as you got right now. Brian Wiley's not here. Dave Pezzo's not here. So you got
Brian Wiley talks about mountain biking all the time.
So you got to, no, no, it does not. You don't listen all the time. I'm just saying.
I was joking with him. I go, dude, all I ever see you on Facebook is mountain biking. When do you do your financial stuff?
He loves doing it.
He said, shh. Got a shush from Brian Wiley.
Yes, well, you should have. You know, even the University of Washington, pretty decent program. Now, mind you, this is a basketball, Alaska Airlines Arena. 5 years, $3.5 million for UW. So,
yep, these corporations not paying taxes. On our backs. Where's my tax deduction?
You get them all the time. You get a marriage deduction. You get your homeowner's tax deduction.
I got hosed for being married. I made more money when I had the 1040 EZ.
You have a home that you can deduct the interest penalized. On. There's a tax break for you.
Here, I went to H&R Block, and they said, oh, you can't do it this year. And then somebody sent my thing too late, so I missed it. I missed my big money how about some naming rights to Kevin Miller's house?
I'm just saying, and if you're not taking advantage of the tax advantages that the government gives you, shame on you.
There's a lot of shame on me, Dave.
Shame on you. By the way, speaking of naming rights, I'll go ahead and name this if you're flying in or out of Denver today. And we had some heavy winds here, down some trees, power lines, bunch of stuff yesterday. Denver, they had hail that damaged some of the airplanes at Denver's International Airport. So if you're flying in or out of there, check ahead to your... you know, your local carrier to find out whether you got delays in Denver. So you have that.
Well, if you're not flying to Denver, it really doesn't matter.
Well, considering that Denver is one of the hubs for Boise, and you know, pretty much you have to fly through Seattle, Chicago, or Denver to get anywhere out of Boise.
I'm not flying today. It doesn't matter to me.
See, that's the problem. Everything's about you.
Well, no, I just, you know, if you're flying to Denver, man, I don't like flying to Denver. I like flying to Las Vegas.
Of course you do. I've seen the pictures of you with the slot machines. Thumbs up.
Yes. Good.
Thumbs up with the slot machine, the one-arm band.
Anyway, at 580 KIDO, so we've got that big news going on. What do you make of this lawsuit with the NFL players? With the NFL players going, the coaches made me do it. And then John Madden going, yeah, I got a couple shots as an announcer. And he's not talking about a shot of Jack either.
Well, you know, I think it's something if you ask these guys, they know it going in. They know it. Now, maybe they don't know everything involved in what's in a painkiller. I mean, just like you when you drink your Diet Dr. Pepper, you don't know everything in the Diet Dr. Pepper. But you go ahead and drink it knowing that it's probably not the best in the world for you. You know,
right.
You're a professional athlete. They say, hey, take a shot of this. It'll numb you and allow you to play, or it has this or that, you know. It's part of the thing that goes with it. And to me, it irritates me that you come back and go, whoa, I didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know I was in that Diet Dr. Pepper. Come on.
Well, it's these corporations that want to make a ton of money at the expense of the good players. I mean, Jim McMahon took incredible care of himself, did he not?
Obviously not. He took something that he didn't know what was in it.
Do you remember when Jim McMahon was making fun of getting shots in his fanny during the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
You remember when he used to be drinking all the time? I mean, there has to be some type of responsibility for how you treat yourself, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mr. Diet Dr. Pepper. Exactly.
Yes. Well, you don't need to be disclosing trade secrets here.
I'm just
saying, goodness, the sun's up today.
Yeah, and I'm just saying for these guys, they are paid millions of dollars. I don't feel bad for them. They know there's a trade-off and that there's a risk involved. You know, they make millions of dollars. So they're good. I got to do this. Your traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming at work.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
If you're going to Denver, check your airlines. Lots of delays. Kevin Miller with you here from Sage International School in Boise, promoting our schools. Securing our future, courtesy of CapEd, 580 KIDO. Good morning.